Welcome to Lightning Bug, a celebration of grassroots progressive politics in rural Pennsylvania. We stand for the protection of all people, the environment, and the rights enshrined in our Constitution. We support an informed citizenry and equal opportunity for all to achieve the American dream. We as constituents will hold our elected officials accountable. We are committed to equality, inclusion, acceptance, and fairness. We are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug. Hello and welcome, everyone. I am Dwayne Heisler.
And I'm Jessica Britton, and this is Lightning Bug.
Yay, Lightning Bug.
Yay.
How's it going, Jess?
It's going okay. How are you?
I'm doing well. So I made local news.
What did you do?
I know. I did it again.
Did you kill a business?
No, I did not kill a business. How could you say that? No, I didn't kill a business.
Those
but,
are
you know,
my words. This was their words.
Yeah, here we go. This is kind of like an old wound, I guess. And okay. We should explain that. Kill a business later. I am like a 25-year businessman. So
he doesn't kill businesses.
No, we don't. So
fake news.
Yeah, it's fake news. Okay, so here's what happened. Last year, our local press enterprise had run a flyer from the KKK in their newspaper. They did a story on it, but they printed the whole flyer, and they did it in such a way that it looked like an ad.
It was excellent advertising placement.
That's what you
call
earned media. They didn't have to pay for it. It was right there, and anyone reading it could very clearly make the phone call and become an active KKK member.
Absolutely.
So that was last year, 2017. And by the way, today is May 8th, 2018. And so in the news recently, national news, there was a newspaper in Virginia who ran a KKK flyer on their front page, and there was a lot of pushback from that, obviously.
Of course.
And so I put in on my Facebook page that, sadly, we've been there before, and I copied this story so that people could see what happened elsewhere in the country. And then in my comments, I put the full page from the Press Enterprise.
From their piece from last year.
From last year, yes. So, but that full page, you couldn't really expand it where you could read it very well.
Right, because it was a photo.
It was kind of blurry. Yeah, right. You know, it depends on what, definitely not on your phone, definitely not on your tablet. On your full-size computer screen, you could probably make out most of it, you know, or a good part of it. But it certainly wasn't advertising like it looked like an ad in the paper.
Right.
So I had done that. And I must have hit a nerve because I ended up in the roses and thorns of the Bloomsburg Press Enterprise, which is where they give accolades and basically tell you to go to hell with a thorn.
Yep.
And so I earned a thorn. And, you know, throughout the years, I've had several roses and thorns throughout the whole thing. And so they were basically saying that I had like rehashed this old wound and that I was doing it to promote the KKK. So basically I was providing free advertising for the KKK by digging up this old thing.
Well, that's odd because I would think that the newspaper would have a much bigger platform, and if they had like posted a KKK flyer, that would have been what they were doing.
So this was my official response. And by the way, I didn't do it through the newspaper because I don't want to sell any more papers on the subject of this kind of racist crap.
Terrible.
And so what I did was I posted this. So I must have hit a nerve with the Press Enterprise. They gave me a thorn for reposting this story, which was the story from Virginia, and a page from their paper saying I was giving free publicity to the KKK. If they had looked more closely above, you can barely read the whole thing because it's so small. When they ran it, it looked like an advertisement.
Yes.
Also, several sources from within the Press Enterprise told me there was a discussion about if they should run that full flyer because of the potential backlash. They made a conscious business decision to post that flyer regardless of the potential consequences to those marginalized in our community. I know many believe that that decision was wrong. There's a reason why I was attacked by the Press Enterprise today, and it's not because they were proud of what they had done. When the Press Enterprise prints its news, when others point it out, They are helping racists by repeating what the Price Enterprise has posted. Uh-huh. I wear this thorn with pride. Note, the paper said he was, well, this is what the paper actually said, quote, he was referring to the controversial posting of a similar flyer in our paper a couple of years ago. And I wrote, they need to read their own paper. It was in 2017.
Yeah. I mean, my personal take on this is that it is amazing to me that they clearly made that business decision that they made to stir up some more controversy and try to sell newspapers, because they could have reported the story. They could have easily reported the story without publishing the flyer.
Or maybe make part of it blurry, like I did, right. You know, because of the size and so forth.
But so to accuse you or any private citizen of, you know, trying to get something out of this is really, really just baffling to me.
Well, there's an organization that got something out of that original printing from the Press Enterprise.
Sure.
It was Earned Media.
Yep.
They got much more distribution, you know, than they ever had before. They played them.
For sure.
Unless
Absolutely.
Their sympathies or otherwise, they were played.
Yeah. Right. And when you look at, the heartbreaking part about this happening in Virginia after Charlottesville last year and all of this, there's just so much to that has not obviously been learned about the events of the last year or so, because we're, again, giving free publicity and just open advertising to the KKK.
So there's not very many, I wouldn't describe this community as being racially mixed by a long shot,
much,
right?
Yeah.
Right. So I had a little incident that happened to me today.
There
was someone came to my door. My dog started barking.
Sure.
And I went to the door, and there was a black man who was on the front step.
Okay.
This is highly unusual. Like,
you do not live in a diverse area of Columbia County either.
I can't remember the last time that I saw anyone that was not Caucasian.
Right.
Okay.
I can believe that.
So he's at my door and he's asking me about a place to go fishing. He's up from Philadelphia with a kid,
mm-hmm.
and didn't want to get in trouble. And
right.
someone had told him it was somewhere up near the tree farm up here, which
okay.
I'm close to.
Yeah.
And so I gave him the directions and I went back to the house thinking, like, what was, you know, why did he stop here? This
mm-hmm.
is pretty random. Like, I don't have a neighbor for half a mile down the hill or one,
right.
you know, this big pond uphill.
Yeah.
And then I remembered that in my yard, I have a sign that says no hate. This
yeah.
home was no place for hate.
Yeah.
You know, this home is no place for hate. And I'm wondering if that perhaps was a factor for him.
I hope it was. I hope that he saw that and felt, okay, this is a safe door to knock on. You know, that would be my hope. And I wouldn't be surprised if that did have an impact.
Right. So I was kind of thinking about that. I need to call my husband, Chris, and let him know that happened.
Yeah, definitely.
Just because I think that, gosh, if that's the only good that sign did, because who
no,
knows
huge,
what
though.
Door he could have knocked on.
Yeah.
And I don't want to,
yeah,
like, spread fear.
Don't say that that's the only good that sign could have done. That's big. That's not an only situation. I think that's big.
Yeah.
Feeling welcome in a community that you, I mean, I assume he probably knew that this was not a very diverse area. So feeling welcome in a community like that is important.
Well, we're in rural Pennsylvania.
Yes.
And I know what it's like when I'm driving my car down the road and I see a police car pulling over some vehicle
mm-hmm.
with someone who's black or someone who's Latino
right.
In that car. And my thoughts are, they're not going to have a good day today.
Right. Well, and just look at the other things that have happened. I mean, this community was rocked less than a year ago by actions of the local radio station that was dealing with, you know, a very similar issue. You know, the rally, the white nationalist rally in Charlottesville hit home in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania in a really disgusting way. So we've been dealing with this a lot, unfortunately, and it all kind of ties back into which side do you want to be on in this fight.
There was also the KKK incident where the kids had the white hoods and pulled up to the young college student and
yes.
called her the N-word
right.
and said, get out of our town,
yeah.
Which was not thoroughly investigated
it
by
was,
the police.
It was
they never found out where those costumes came from.
Right.
At one point, they suggested that the kids just made them. I don't know. Let's get together and sew some white hoods
okay.
in perfect cone form.
Well, and I mean, even if they did, why is that less of a reason to look into
exactly.
it? You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I agree with you yeah. that they probably did not make them themselves.
They went to the extent of making some phone calls, and that was it. They didn't even drive down Old Berwick Road because it was out of their jurisdiction to go the extra 3 miles down that road.
And in a community where we're also trying to have some of these conversations, I'm thinking of the, like, Beyond the Fountain conversation that the university put on, you know, just dealing with the fear that minority students from the university tend to feel just walking five blocks past, you know, down Main Street. You know, it's a very real concern in an area like this.
Well, we had cross burnings here in the past. That wasn't too long ago. Yeah. So, I guess one really has to think about the context.
Yeah.
The context. And I thought, and many people in the community also thought, that the newspaper used very poor judgment.
I thought the newspaper this is not the first time I thought this, but I thought the newspaper used terrible judgment.
When I read that article about what happened in Virginia, it made me flash back to our own situation here. And, you know, they make it sound like one of the things that happens is like, there is no racism. Like, that's always the thing. Like, point to it. There is none.
Well, I've never experienced any racism. Well, you're a white guy. Exactly. So there you go.
And, you know, and that when it does happen, it's an isolated incident.
Yep.
And so reading this in you know, what happened in Virginia made me think, like, okay, I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
I understand it very well.
Yeah.
Because we had confronted it in our own community.
Here. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the power of local media should not be underestimated. You know, people trust their local newspaper. They trust their local radio stations. They trust their local TV stations, which we're now seeing the effects of Sinclair buying up stations. There's a local station that was bought by Sinclair that read the piece that was the must read about the dangers of, quote, fake news, unquote. And it's really disturbing. So pay attention to what your local media is doing, because it has an impact on your everyday life.
So thinking about news and media, I'd kind of like to maybe switch a little bit to our segment on what's it going to take or what can go wrong. And I'd like to switch to what can go wrong. I'd talk about a state issue which has come up, and we've talked about it before, the fact that Pennsylvania is the only state in the Northeast that does not have protections for the LGBT community.
Right.
So once again, you can get married on Sunday and fired on Monday for being gay.
Right.
Because of who you love. You can be denied housing, you can be denied employment, you can be denied public services, which happened here once again in Bloomsburg, with public housing, and also with wedding dresses.
Right.
So that was a reference to the business killer, because they're no longer in business. But, you know, it's amazing. I wish I had all the powers people gave me.
Yeah.
But,
well, that was because of a business decision that they made as well.
Exactly. So. And the community said, we won't have any of it.
We don't want to support you.
So anyway, what was recently in the news, I know this firsthand because I was speaking with some people who were involved with the city council up in Scranton. They had put in a bid to get the new Amazon headquarters. You know, they're looking nationally for headquarters. Yeah. Actually, there's Toronto's in the running too.
Yeah.
But sadly, Scranton's not in the running, but Philadelphia and Pittsburgh are.
Right.
But there was just some recent news that was made that Amazon will not locate their large headquarters, and this is not the packing jobs.
Yeah,
these are management jobs.
Yeah, this is big.
That they would not locate that in a state that doesn't afford protections to all of their citizens.
Yeah. So unfortunately, there goes Pennsylvania as of right now.
So, and who is the person who's holding this up?
Oh, I know.
Do you know,
Tito? I do know.
We should ring a bell or something.
That,
you know,
would be one. I know. We need to get this bell that we can talk about.
Oh, I ordered one.
Did you?
Oh, my gosh, on Amazon.
Did you from Amazon? Oh, that's too good.
I seriously
did.
I'll have it for the next one.
That's
sure.
Amazing.
Yes, it is amazing.
Okay, so I think I can guess.
Oh, go for it. Read my mind. Sorry.
Daryl Metcalf. Yet again.
Daryl Metcalf.
Just the worst person in Pennsylvania. Like, finds a way, with all this competition, to be just the worst person and worst legislator for Pennsylvania.
So I'd like to ask you, how is it that Daryl Metcalf can hold up Amazon from coming to Pennsylvania?
Well, Dwayne, that's a really good question. So, Daryl Metcalf, using his position in the Pennsylvania General Assembly, has the
I forget the name of the committee.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know. It escapes me this
something,
moment.
Yeah, it's something really generic sounding, yes. If I remember correctly. But, you know, that committee could put forth these exact protections that we are discussing.
Right.
Have they done it? Nope.
No, and there's been some sort of legislation that's been on, you know, in front of that committee since the year 2001.
Right.
Okay, so for it's 17
brand new legislation that's only been around for 17 years.
Yeah.
Many opportunities to do this, but his rampant homophobia and awful tendencies to discriminate against anyone he either disagrees with or dislikes or, you know, touches him on the arm, you know, and this is now costing the state of Pennsylvania, potentially costing the state of Pennsylvania. I can't even put a dollar amount on the tax money that could come in, but also however many jobs this headquarters could provide, and that's on him.
So I saw an article in Penn Live today that says it's a black hole. Democratic leaders say Daryl Metcalf's committee is a black hole.
Yeah.
And so the committee that we're talking about is called the State Government Committee.
I knew it was something really bland,
right?
Generic.
So basically, if you want something to die, you send it there. Yeah. And he's willing to just, you know, dig in. He's the representative from Butler County, just willing to dig in. And I forget what the quote was, but he will not allow any good Democratic legislation to move forward. He takes great pride in being able to do that. But there was something else that was that I saw. It was in an article from the Pittsburgh City Paper that said Daryl Metcalf's pro-gun rally attracted support from within the white supremacist origins. And it's not the first time. This is a quote from there. It isn't the first time the white nationalist white supremacist crowd has associated with Metcalf.
So
it was
just ties it all together nicely.
Yeah,
doesn't
it? We just went from So this is our legislator. He needs to go. And the good news is that there is someone who's running against
him. There is. Let's talk yet again about Metcalf's opponent, Dan Smith, who is the Democrat running against him, who is openly gay, and I just think that is fantastic. Because that is the sort of thing that you want to campaign on against someone who is just so obviously homophobic and so okay with having discriminatory policies in place. And Dan Smith is also, you know, calling for.
Do you have his website
more,
there? You know,
I think it's dansmithjr.com, but let me just double
really
check that.
Something really simple like that.
Yep, and he's also calling for, more gun safety legislation. So going back to the pro-gun rally Metcalf was, you know, hosting or whatever he was doing, and I just think that it could not be more important to support candidates like this who are coming out and really putting themselves on the line to do this. His website, and this is the District 12 in Pennsylvania, is just danielsmithjr.com. Could not be easier.
So there you go, danielsmithjr.com. Yep. You can go there and you can volunteer and you can help. We only have a few more days until the primary.
Primary is very, very soon.
So on the 15th, right?
Yep.
So, so that's just a few days from now, 7 days from now.
Yes.
So you can still help. I know we've been doing some events at Columbia County Indivisible.
We have.
Shout out to Columbia County Indivisible.
Yay.
We have something going on tomorrow.
Tomorrow night, yeah. We're having an action event for some, you know, get out the vote strategy. We're really just asking our members and any supporters to reach out to people you know, to your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, but also to reach out. We can provide some lists to do some phone banking. We can provide lists to write and send postcards to remind people to vote. We need to get as many people out as possible and show that the Democratic community, which may not be as large as we would like it to be in this area, we need to show the strength of those numbers and show that, hey, we're paying attention and we're not going away and we will all be voting on May 15th.
So I think one way we can wrap up the Metcalf story on today's podcast.
I'd like to wrap up the Metcalf story in general.
Way. Well, let's wrap it up with a millennial minute. I would say, and maybe I'm out of bounds here, but I do not think, knowing how open most millennials are, that this would be their candidate of choice.
No. The younger generation in the United States, you know, at this point is really speaking out they are more accepting of, you know, people who aren't like them. They are really focused on, you know, that sort of acceptance and embracing diversity and not focusing on any negatives. And Daryl Metcalf just goes against all of those things, you know, and especially at a time like this where, okay, how do we keep jobs in Pennsylvania for millennials? You take out Amazon, which would have been, you know, could have been a huge right. employer too.
Right.
So it's now not only affecting, you know, social policy and those sort of things that tend to rally millennials, but also you're taking away a huge potential for jobs. And no one, you know, no one who's running for any office is campaigning on let's have less jobs in Pennsylvania.
Right, right.
But his actions
have led directly
to that. And so as a millennial, I would look at him and say, okay, this guy's a homophobe. He is pro-gun. You know, the millennial kids, I mean, these kids are rallying around gun safety.
Right.
And looking at it also saying, so oh, and even, we can't get jobs.
He doesn't even try to parse his decision, oh, you know, about. No. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of progressive people here who have guns, who hunt, who, you know, it's a family sure. tradition, all those things. And it's not necessarily about anti-gun. It's about gun safety.
Exactly.
And making sure that we have protection. Common sense gun laws. Yep. But you'll never hear him say the words common sense gun laws.
No.
It just doesn't work.
No, because he's one of those fear mongers who makes wants to say we're taking the guns away. Like, right. Give me a break. But yeah, so as a millennial, I would say, you know, he checks all the boxes of what you don't want to represent you. Wow. So hopefully Daniel Smith Jr. can just wipe him right out. Maybe he will also die in the black hole of his own legislative committee and not come back.
So moving forward, we have these events going on in Columbia County, which brings us to, we've done local, we've done state, so federal.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap up the state with, we have Wolf, who's on the ballot. Very important race there for Governor
enough.
Wolf.
Can't say enough about
Have you seen his new
Governor
ad?
Wolf. Oh, I have not.
Oh, it's awesome. It's
Is
awesome.
It?
I'll share it with you.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, and it really strikes me because it's really talking about working people and how important jobs are, and that's the critical part of rural Pennsylvania right there.
Yeah.
And, you know, working with and there's going to be a big event in Harrisburg I forget the date, mid-June, where they are going, the 11th and the 12th, where the Poor People's Campaign is coming in
D.C.
on the 11th and on the 12th. We have a union gathering there, which is basically lifting up the poor people's message.
Excellent.
And saying, you know, one of the things we need are good-paying jobs, right? And we're tired of those good-paying jobs being, you know, just chiseled away.
Chiseled
and America
away.
Needs unions. Pennsylvania Central needs Spur. Unions. That helps to raise the jobs. So so that's going on. But we also have our 9th congressional district. And so in a way of a chicken and waffle, like in a waffle, and this might be a good waffle because something changed.
Yes.
You know, the courts stepped in and said these districts are so gerrymandered, and we got the new 9th congressional district.
Yes.
I call it the fighting 9th
because fighting ninth.
Carbon County kind of looks like a fist on the end of this guy holding it up.
Yeah,
I'll have to show you what I, and maybe you'll look at it and say, what the hell? It doesn't look
I mean,
anything.
I might, but we can talk about it.
So it's just Carbon County just looks like a fist. So that's like Jim Thorpe and Lee Hyden up in that area that's doing that. And so we have some candidates in the 9th that are coming up that people can help,
people
you know,
can.
Running for office. And, of course, it's an open seat because that favorite person of ours, Lou Barletta.
Lou Barletta.
Lou Barletta, right, who is basically a mini Trump, you know, had his own. The city of Hazleton is still trying to pay off the $1 million in debt.
Still trying to recover from the years that Barletta was mayor.
Right, where he tried to introduce legislation which the court said was racist and, you know, wasn't allowed under the Constitution.
Right.
You know, he even tried to strike all Spanish from all the forms that were already printed up there.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I'm not, I guess I shouldn't be surprised by that.
So, anyway, he's now running for senator, and when's the last time he had a town hall? He's been our rep.
Oh, gosh, Dwayne. It's been since 2011,
I think 2011
is right. I think he was elected in 2010?
Seven years without a town hall.
Yeah.
So this is before all of this stuff recently, right?
Yep.
Well, but yeah, so this guy refuses. I don't know if I want a senator who doesn't want to talk to the people.
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I know for a fact that I don't want a senator who doesn't want to talk to the people. You know, so we have a unique opportunity here in the new Fight and Ninth District where we have an open seat for the first time in a long time.
Right.
So we have three Democratic candidates who, you know, we've been hearing them speak. And I think, you know, I think they're all good candidates. I think we discussed last time, you know, that they all have some work to do. I don't think that's a bad thing.
I have an update for you.
Oh, hit me.
So just after we did that podcast about the debate was kind of so-so.
Nah.
I had the opportunity to have Gary Wegman on WKOK, one of our local radio stations. So there's this local radio station, WKOK, very conservative listenership, very conservative news radio that's out there. They are crazy enough to allow me on the air for like 15 minutes every Friday morning at 9:15 or so. Well, it is great. I mean, they're loving it. They have new listenership, which they haven't had before.
Right.
I think it's part of building the progressive infrastructure.
I'm going to give you a little side information. The only times that I had ever listened to KOK up until the last year were, I can't think of any times actually. So, but my Friday mornings, a lot of the time, do consist of listening to Dwayne on WKOK.
Well, it's a lot of fun. And it's also great when you get on The Mark, which is Mark Lawrence, who does that show.
Yeah, you got me on that show a couple times.
Oh, that's right. So, I forgot about that.
Couple different things.
So. Yeah. So anyway, we did that podcast last week. And immediately following that, I had an interview with Gary Wegman. And he knocked it out of the park.
Nice.
I was mixing my metaphors.
Kicked it right out of the park.
Well, maybe they were playing soccer.
They could have been.
Whatever it was, I don't know what he had for breakfast that morning, but it was amazing.
Good.
It was a great interview, and on the mark. He was, he was just fantastic.
Great.
And it wasn't only me asking questions. Mark Lawrence asked a question or two, and it was just so well-rounded and so well-thought and so well-articulated. I was so glad I got him on the air.
Yeah.
Oh, and now he wants me to. I need to contact Laura or Denny Wolf to see if I can get them on for this week too.
Definitely.
And see if we can get all three of them, squeezed in.
Yeah,
so
get their messages out.
That would
That's
be great.
So good.
Because the bottom line is they're all good candidates.
They are all good candidates. I think, and our conversation last week really just stemmed around some communication issues. Their policies I think are strong.
Right.
I don't know that I would agree with everything that any of them would say, but I think they are all good candidates. They think they need some polish, they need some message discipline and that sort of thing. So I think, we can support any one of them, whoever wins. But I would just strongly encourage people again, Laura Quick, Gary Wegman, Denny Wolf, those are our three Democratic candidates here in the ninth. So important to support any of those candidates. And then really, again, we have to just mention on May 16th, whichever one is the winner in the primary, we got to have their back 100%.
That's right.
And we're also looking at, and getting those numbers up for the primary too, just like show as much support for Senator Casey as humanly possible, because we know for a fact how bad Lou Barletta can be to those that he's representing, and we cannot allow him to represent the whole state of Pennsylvania.
Just imagine, too, like if we take a step back, that's on a national level, but if we look to at a state level, I'm going to flip back to that, just thinking about how conservative our state legislature is, our Senate and our House. Our Senate is veto-proof. Our House is very red, too. And it's like you don't stand a chance. There's no chance. And the only chance that we've had for the last 4 years has been Governor Wolf.
Yeah.
I mean,
if it wasn't for
that video, or video, veto,
oh.
veto, that veto
I don't know
power.
About a video.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about his new video ad.
Yeah,
it was really
I gotcha.
Good. But his the veto power, I mean, right now we would have the most conservative abortion laws in the whole country, because that's what they pushed through the House and Senate.
You know, when you see the anti-abortion legislation and the anti-woman legislation that has come up in our legislature, it is so disgusting. It is just so disturbing. Plus, then you look at just the things that we've talked about recently. Cuts to Medicaid and cuts to SNAP and cuts to those
Which,
who are
by the way, is still
of,
going to the Senate.
Yeah,
so that's still
out stay
there.
Tuned for that. We look at all of these things. Plus, they just like to like to screw around with the budget, and we can't pass a shale tax where that's an opportunity to make money for the state. So thank God for Governor Wolf.
Well, and all the how they're trying to attack unions and collective bargaining. You know, that is something right there. If it wasn't for Wolf, kiss unions goodbye.
Yeah,
they would have been gone because they would have had clear sailing. That's what they did with the gerrymandering. If you roll it back to the 2010 census, we had a Republican governor, Corbett, in there. They just drew the lines however the hell would just benefit their party,
right,
and rushed that through, got that through House, Senate, governor signed it, and there we are now. Pennsylvania's number one again in the most gerrymandered state in the country.
Well, and you look at their response, you know, you go back to we're talking about chicken and waffles. Yeah, the waffling in this sense was good, but the chicken in that situation is the Pennsylvania state legislature, because they're so afraid of fair districts,
right,
that they're willing to sell out the state judiciary, sell out the voters, all to do this. So again, thank you, Governor Wolf, and we've got your back moving forward.
Definitely. And once again, a shout out to our friend Daryl Metcalf, because for a second time now, he has gutted a bill for gerrymandering. It can't get out of his committee.
For fair districts,
they got another one up in front of him, and it's been shot down again. And
He's got to go.
He absolutely has to go.
And DanielSmithJr.com.
The leadership that's allowing him to be there.
Exactly. Because he doesn't exist in a vacuum, even though it is some sort of black hole. I don't know enough about nuclear physics to understand.
It's like black hole, vacuum. It is a vacuum.
There's a whole thing. I don't know. But anyway.
No lights escapes it.
Someone is saying, and there you have to look at, Terzai, and say, hey, maybe this isn't someone who should be a committee chair.
Yeah,
but
you think
they're not willing to do that. So we got to vote them out.
Okay, so we had our local news about me earning the thorn in the Press Enterprise.
Are you okay? Are you still bleeding from your thorns?
I think I should have like a cape of
you
thorns.
You okay?
Or
oh, that'd be
like
cool.
That. Like maybe it would be like my super ability. Wasn't there some kind of hero that would like shoot thorns? I think there was a Marvel comic hero.
I don't know. It could be you.
It could be me. Have to look it up if I'm a mutant, right?
Super Dwayne.
There we go. Meh. So, so we had that. We had the state talking about our friend Daryl Metcalf and a whole host of things that are associated with that. We went into the Millennial Minute as a kind of a recap of that. And then Chicken and Waffles talking about the 9th Congressional District, Wolf, and of course, Bob Casey and our 9th Congressional District candidates, the Fighting 9th, right?
Yep.
And talked about all those things. So that was a good, I think it's time to kind of wrap it up. So thank you so much for tuning in. I have to say once again that we are lights in the night. We are hope for our future. We are not alone. We are Lightning Bug.